All right, welcome to Buddy Book Club. I'm Dylan, here with my friend from Stockholm, Keith. Hey, good buddy.
I had the exact same note. I said, I'm here with D-Man, a real Stockholmian, if you know what I mean.
But did you add the hey, which, according to the video I watched on YouTube, is the appropriate way to say hi in Sweden?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I guess
so. Oh, all right.
Hey. The Buddy Book Club, it's the bridge that brings us all together, just like Roger said in this book.
Well, we don't want people on bridges listening to this. That's what that way.
Maybe stock down bridges, but we'll get there. Here at the Buddy Book Club, we're breaking down some bestsellers, and this week we'll be discussing Anxious People by Frederick Bachman. It's a listener recommendation, which I'm floored about. We love when we hear from you guys, and it was just great to get some recs. There was a few, which we'll probably be going through a few of them throughout the next year or so. Who knows? But we're going to start with Anxious People. It's like got like a 4 or 5 on Goodreads. Something crazy.
It was Kristen from Nashville. Appreciate it, Kristen.
We're both flattered. But if you'd like to recommend a book for us to read or reach out to us about any past episodes, you can visit our website, buddybookclub.com, or slide into our DMs on Twitter or Instagram, Buddy Book Club Podcast. You can listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. So please download and subscribe. Keith, Anxious People is... it's kind of like Inside Man meets Crash.
Yeah, that's fair. I actually was thinking it was Inside Man the whole time. But yeah, with a lot more social issues and whatnot.
I mean, this book definitely is something that if you were, I'm going to say college just because I'm an idiot, but you may be in high school or something, you could write a whole big essay on the meaning behind this book, human interaction, for sure. Stuff like that. But the great part about it, it's just a story about people. That's enjoyable, but there is a lot of meaning behind it, but you don't need to really dive too deep into that if you don't want to. You can just enjoy the book for what it is.
We're surface level people here. You could definitely do a college course on this one.
When they were throwing the rings in the bottom of the pool, I was like, no. I'm just going to do laps. I'm cool on the surface here. I don't need to dive down there. Okay, let's jump into Stock Up, Stock Down. Keith, what do you got for Stock Up for Anxious People?
Stock Up being a plain Jane. And I know this is a big point of contention, something that was harped on often when I worked with D-Man. He was like, oh, Keith, you don't like exotic foods. Oh, Keith, you just eat your turkey clubs and your cheeseburgers and your chicken kebab with just rice and no veggies.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry I wasn't eating like a kale-flavored tofu burger like you, sue me.
That's not accurate.
That's what you were eating all the time. But this book really goes to bat for people like me who are very straightforward, not picky, but strong-willed and determined and know what they like. That's what I would say.
You're making the case for a racist right now.
What?
You're like someone who's stuck in their ways.
Someone that likes cheeseburgers is racist, though?
No, but you're like someone who's strong-willed, knows what they believe in.
There's a way difference between liking a certain thing that only affects you and then projecting your... it's not like I'm like, everyone has to eat cheeseburgers only and turkey clubs this way. That's what you're doing. If anything, you're the racist. Wow, good point, Keith. I'm going to reverse that. Let's go. Anyways, but this book really does go to bad for people like me. They're like, let's order pizzas. Mm. And instead of just being the typical order, which is what I would do is, all right, let's get a cheese. Let's get a pepperoni. There's two. We have 8 people here, 9 people here. And then does anyone have any allergies, anything else that like need a specialty order? We'll get a small of that, right? That's what it is. Those are the 3 pizzas you get total. They order 8 pizzas for each person individually.
Respect.
There's people out there starving. I need food and you're doing this? What a complete waste of... I mean, it really does show you that these people were all about themselves. It was ridiculous, and it somehow almost got them to figure out who the bank robber was, but didn't really, but almost did. Plain Jane.
The only person that didn't pick their pizza was Leonard. He was just like, all right, I'm fine with it, whatever. I think it's important to have all the pizzas. I will disagree with you there. It's a hostage situation, so we're not concerned about wasted pizza. Also, couch pizza, as I call it, which is just pizza that's left out wherever at any time, still good a week later. The officers that are coming in to like break down the crime scene after, they're gonna be jazzed. But we also don't give enough credit to our girl Ro, Julia's wife, who crushes leftovers or crushes food more than any character in any story I've ever read. And so she was probably super excited because she knew people weren't gonna finish. Additionally, we also don't know what Swedish customs are. Like here, we get large pizzas and people grab a slice or whatever the case is. When you're in Florence, Italy, you get a personal pizza and it's a 9-inch pizza. It's not like a big pizza. It's like 4 slices. So maybe in Sweden, the pizzas are smaller, which ties in nicely with my first stock up, Swedish pizza toppings. So I have the mental capacity of a squirrel most times. And that's why I really do enjoy audiobooks, is because I can kind of do something else as I'm listening, even though I am focused. I am listening, I swear. But if I like sit down to read a book, I'll read 10 pages and be like, oh, look, there's a fly. And like, be like, I have to kill that fly. And they're like, oh, look, there's laundry. I should probably do this. I just can't read a book. It's just not going to happen. So the second I heard this, they keep saying pizza capricosa. So I was like, okay, I got to stop this audiobook and immediately figure out what is pizza capricosa, which turns out is mozzarella, baked ham, mushrooms, and artichokes. I think we can both agree that sounds terrible. But pizza capricosa, I guess it's a big thing in Sweden. Other great Swedish pizza toppings, meatball pizza, seems pretty standard to us, but we're now forgetting Swedes have their own meatballs. So Swedish meatballs on a pizza, I'm already game. But the kicker here, they usually serve it with a béarnaise sauce, which is like an egg yolk, white butter sauce. Like, if you're a pizza dipper, that sounds phenomenal. They have a gedost, which is instead of mozz, it's like a Swedish cream cheese. Not really sure about that. But back to your kebab comment from earlier, they did reference this in the book to kebab pizza, which is like shaved doner kebab chicken, pepperoncinis, and kebab sauce, which sometimes will have lettuce and or French fries on top of it. Well, like afterwards, not baked into it. So I was like, really, this kebab pizza sounds pretty dang good.
It's very sauce dependent, though. We know kebab sauce is really the most important thing.
Yeah, 100%. The kebab sauce is the most important. And they also do this like pizza salad. So for my understanding, it's like served on with every pizza in Sweden, supposedly. And from my understanding, it's like a tangy coleslaw that's served with every pizza. And some people put it on top, you know, like a little crunch to the pie. Don't hate that.
There's a lot of research
you did. Yeah, I did. Well, the last one I'm going to say is the Africana, which is the most infamous the pizzas of Sweden. And it's a banana, curry powder, peanuts, and chicken or ham. Sometimes it'll have raisins on it. Thoughts?
What are they, just like a bingo board? And they're just fucking pulling things off and throwing on there? Like, what is this? What
are you doing here? Just spin the wheel three times or whatever it lands on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Raisins. Okay, throw it on.
Yeah, sounds very questionable. I'm probably all right. Although if someone was going to, if we were in Sweden, someone said we have to try it, I'd be 100% in.
For sure. But I mean, I wouldn't be happy about it. Oh, yeah.
So Swedish pies, you know, I love the idea of mixing up pizzas to cultures. It's great. It's great. What else do you have for stock up?
Wine in secret storage areas stock up. Wine, just because I hated on it a couple weeks ago or a couple episodes ago. They bust it out here. It makes everyone friendlier. It starts solving problems. We get some salacious stories going out there.
Yeah.
My bad. Hand up on that one. And I love the secret storage area being like, oh, yeah, you got to keep a secret, you know, secret stash somewhere, which never works for me because I just like got some like Godiva or whatever they're called, caramel chocolates.
Oh, those are so good.
Threw them in the fridge. I forgot they were there. So I forgot for like 2 weeks. I went back, opened it up. I see them there. They're obviously gone in within a day or two after that, right?
Yeah.
You know, like once I realized they were there, I'm going to continue to going back.
No freezer, just to the fridge. Interesting.
And then the last one, just waterfront property value, stock up. So Zara only visits properties that overlook water and bridges.
Yeah.
And they're all super cheap, apparently. Oh, so I thought everyone knew about waterfront property and it being expensive, but I'm going to go to Sweden and just start buying these up. Oh, this is like a real stock up. Like, I'm actually going to go put money in there because apparently she was like, yeah, this place is trashy. It just looks over this beautiful bridge and water scene. Yeah, I'm like, wait, what? So I don't really understand how she was going to all these apartments that were cheap that also had that.
Everyone's just concerned there's going to be a bridge jumper. You know, they're like waiting for the next bridge jumper. So they're like, I don't want to be having my orange juice in the morning and watching someone jump off a bridge.
The most expensive property you can probably purchase is looking at the San Francisco Bridge, Golden Gate Bridge. And that has the most jumpers, I'm pretty sure, of any bridge in the world. So I don't know if that.
Okay. My theory has been disproven.
or I think it's the opposite. There's a direct correlation between number of people that jump and property values.
I'm also interested, and not to make this a morbid conversation, but here we go.
More than I already asked.
You said that San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge has the most jumpers of any bridge. Is that an actual fact?
I could have made that up.
Okay.
Let me see. I'll do a quick audit on that. Most frequently used locations, well, there's one in China, and then the second one is Golden Gate Bridge.
China's got us again. God dang it. But you did kind of just like cruise over that first stock up, which was the hidden wine. You forgot that our girl Estelle also had a pack of smokes in there.
Did she?
Yeah, she had a pack of cigarettes in there.
I missed that. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not a big cigarette guy, so I didn't stock up it. Sorry.
In a hostage situation, you'd be like, pass that bogey over here. Right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. 100%.
It's pretty flimsy hostage situation where people are just like having their own little parties in different parts of the apartment.
I always had the question back when we were in early 20s, and we would go by a place at like 9:30 a.m. you know, on the train or whatever, and see someone outside smoking a cigarette, and I was like, Jesus Christ, I can't imagine that. However, would you do that if you go up to a girl that was smoking a cigarette, if it was like the love of your life, you sitting out there, and rip a cigarette with her?
100%. What do you mean? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. What? No question.
For me, I was like, I don't know. It's tough. That's a tough look.
It'd be a weird intro. You'd just be like, hey, can I bum a cigarette? And then you just go for it. Because I feel like sometimes people sitting outside smoking at 9 o'clock in the morning, they want to be alone.
I just think of whenever I've smoked a cigar, which is very rare, the next morning I wake up and I want to jump off one of these fucking Golden Gate bridges. Your mouth, it feels, and then like, imagine being like, you know what? I'm going to re-up that, but it's 9:30 in the morning. I'm going to get that every morning going.
Maybe that happenstance meeting would change someone's life. Who knows?
That's true. Anxious people. And you become addicted to cigarettes, so that's good too. Yeah.
My next stock up is unethical business moves. I mean, paying a guy like Leonard to ruin an open house is honestly one of the most genius ideas I think I've heard of in a while.
You know where it's ripped from, by the way, not to cut you off.
No, cut me off.
Dirty Work, the movie.
Oh!
One of my favorite movies
growing up. Damn Saigon whore bit my nose off. I told you that story about how I was very uncomfortable my first day at work, and someone said Dirty Work or something along that line. It just blurted. You know when you say things, you're like, I don't even know why I said that. I just blurted out that Chris Farley line about the damn Saigon whore that bit my nose off, and no one had any idea what I was talking about. I was as uncomfortable as I've ever been in my whole life. You can't go backwards from there. Like, there's no way.
I would have given you a laugh, kid.
A pity laugh?
No, I would have laughed out loud because I love the reference. Although, you didn't give me the same courtesy when I started, so maybe I wouldn't.
Oh, that's probably true. I don't know. I've grown and changed. I'm a better man than I was before. Yeah, and Dirty Work. Very good call, Norm MacDonald, RIP. Yeah, paying someone to ruin an open house, it seems like so easy too, because it's an open house, right? So you could kind of do anything, right? And he obviously has many packages with this, you know, the rabbit package, which I think in the Netflix show, that's a Swedish Netflix show, so it's subtitled, he has like a ball gag in, stuff like that, which is funny. But can you think of something that you would do? Because as you know, we're both homeowners now. I luckily didn't need to get into any like bidding war or anything for this house. But them walking around being like, oh, does that smell like mold? You know, it smells like mold. That kind of stuff is like really smart to me. I thought this was, and then Leonard is just the icing on the cake. But I'm thinking maybe a neighbor can come over and just start being unruly. And I think they might have referenced that as a different time. But those kind of things make a lot of sense to me. Is there anything that comes to your head when you think of...
Yeah, like in Step Brothers when when they were doing the same thing. They're dressed up as Nazis as the neighbors and things like that. Mm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, then Step Brothers too. Yeah, maybe even like go in ahead of time and like put a dead fish somewhere just so it smells really funky or something. Did they do that?
That's Dirty Work.
Damn it. Wow.
That's really Dirty Work.
Sometimes like I've seen all these movies in my life and I'm sure they've influenced similar to Anxious People. I'm sure they've influenced my life in many ways that I don't even understand.
Also, can we talk about, who is it, Roger and Annalena? 1,000% on Annalena's side. I thought that was like nicest, most considerate things you could do is making someone feel good and helping him achieve his goal. And Roger like reacted so poorly to it. I didn't understand that. His ego was hurt. Who cares? She's helping you achieve your goal. It's really his dream to buy and sell and find the best prices. She's literally helping you out doing that and not taking any credit.
Yeah, I think the bigger issue is that she had a successful career, right? So he gave up his life so that she could have a successful career, which is like...
Cry me a river.
Yeah, like, no, what are totally. We, what? My dream situation.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, what's the issue?
But because of that, he hasn't yet found any purpose. And like his purpose was his kids who are now grown, so he...
Play some pickleball one time.
But no, seriously though, like this whole flipping houses, flipping apartments kind of thing was his, and she was along for the ride, and he viewed like the rest of their life as hers, and he was along for the ride. So to know that she kind of took it into her own hands and was actually kind of the puppeteer, it hurt his feelings. I can understand it, but I'm with you.
It was a nice gesture, I thought. She was doing it to help him win. It wasn't malicious. Everything was for him. And then she never took any credit. You know, and then he found, the only sin was that he found out about it. But that was like sweet, I think. It's a romantic gesture, if anything.
100%. And I think that's part of the book in itself, is how we perceive things, right? So someone might be doing something one way and think, hey, and Elena's like, oh, I'm doing this because I love him and to be really nice. And him being like, wow, she did this to basically control the situation, and like, she's, this is her thing.
No, well, the way she reacted right away, she knew it would hurt his feelings, which again shows his like fragile ego, which I was like, all right, bro, get over yourself, Roger, like, grow up.
Roger's got his own issues. Who says they open a dampener and doesn't actually open the dampener when you're lighting a fire? If you made the mistake, it's okay, you made the mistake. We've all
I told you, the guy's got a fragile ego.
But when that gun was brandished, he dove right on her. He was willing to take the bullet. Which, that's it. Stand up guy at the end of the day.
A lot of this book too was like, you get the inner monologues of these people, or what, like, how would they do like things. But to me, it's like actions over thoughts and feeling. What do they actually do? And were they being a good person when they did those things? And like, I'll get to it. But Zara, shitty person. Like, I don't care what her inner monologue was.
Let's hold off on that till later. I mean, this has to be a stock up because I think we both share it. But being an idiot, stock up. I mean, the whole book is just kind of like, hey, we're all idiots.
Yeah.
We might think we're not, but in lots of ways, we all are idiots. I couldn't agree with you more. I'm probably the biggest idiot I know, and I know a lot of idiots.
That first chapter was that spoke to me a little bit too much. That was basically the first chapter. It was like, we all suck at everything. We're all dumb. We're all awful at sex. I'm like, who wrote this? Who is this?
You're like, does it say Keith LaFrette? I don't remember the awful at sex part, but...
Yeah, maybe certain things spoke to me. That was funny.
I always think about it in real life. Because when you were a kid and you looked up, you know, you saw someone in high school, you're like, wow, like they got it figured out, you know? And then when you're in high school, you looked at someone that was in college, you're like, they got it figured out. And when you're in college, you're thinking the same thing. Well, at the same time, all the people older are looking down and be like, those people are so dumb. But we're all really just the same. We're just all
that's fair.
Kids that have now are in adult bodies. What do you get for Stock Down?
Getting away with a crime, Stock Down.
Yeah.
The ending of this book is supposed to be this super happy, oh, the bank robber got away with it, moves into the apartment. She gets away with the crime, but then she basically implements all the people in the house that are basically know that she's getting away with crime. The two police officers, they're all kind of basically on the hook at some point here for letting her get away with this. She still doesn't have a job. She still doesn't figure out a job. She still only gets to see her kids like once in a while. It's not like she's got her kids back. I think she just could have got arrested. It didn't really make sense getting away with it. None of her problems were solved. And then we look, and this will I'll tell you what would have solved her problem. Gets arrested. Look up Sweden jails, the Sollenta prison. It's 5 times better than my room. Not even like, it's the nicest place you've ever seen. They have like the nicest prisons. They have your own kitchen. You get all this stuff. You have your own room.
Yeah.
It's a king size bed they have.
King size?
I'm not even kidding. Look this up. Sollenta prison.
Okay.
It's nicer than anything I've ever seen. So what you do is you go to prison a couple years. You hang out there. Maybe you learn in a new vocation. You start reading some books.
Listen to the Buddy Book Club.
Yeah, exactly. When you get out of jail, that shitty husband you had and the shitty dad you had, he's going to be sick of those kids. You know who now gets the kids? You, full time, because he's going to be sick of them. So really, it's a win-win-win-win-win. You get a nice break. You don't have to worry about a job. You get everything paid for you. You got a king-size bed. Go to prison, Sweden. Like, what are you doing here?
Why not instead escape like she did? Murder your husband, ex-husband.
Yeah, and go for prison longer?
Go to prison, but then once you get out, then you're kids.
No, well, you're going for much longer if you murder your husband.
Really? I thought prison sentences were all the same.
All right. Well, okay. I
agree with your thought process as it being particularly Keith thought process. I understand that.
What does that mean? I think that's on point. I don't really understand.
You can't see your kids when you're in jail, though.
Yeah, but you're going to see them full time once the dad realizes he hates the kids.
That's a lot to bank on.
I'm not banking on it. The dad cheated with your boss.
Yeah, the dad's a shitty person. Piece of shit. Yeah.
If he did care about the kids, then he would make sure that his mother of his children that you just fucked over is at least put in a better light. Instead, he tries to ruin her life also. There's a lot of things that occur that show he's not a good person. So ultimately, he's going to be a shitty dad. Yeah. So he's going to not want the kids eventually. That's just fact.
Yeah. And there's also like the little thing at the end about the kids being like, oh, my parents are fighting, whatever the case is. They would know, like, oh, their new stepmom is your mom's old boss. Like, how did that work out? Like, oh, right, our dad's a total piece of shit. It's got to be tough for a parent because you, like, don't want to tell your kids how shitty a move that was by your dad because you don't want to, like, fuck them up. But that's bottom of the barrel stuff right there. My first talk down is the whole good cop, bad cop thing that they were trying to play in the interview room. Usually we see some good cop, bad cop work. But Jack and Jim, father and son combo, they were not doing very well in there. I'm going to say that was a bottom tier good cop, bad cop. And additionally, we have to bring up that, are we sure that Jack is actually a good police officer? Because he was getting these offers. Like, he got an offer to work in Stockholm and become a Stockholmer, but he turned him down, and the Stockholmers wanted him because he was such a good cop. But he was terrible at interviewing these people. He had no control over the conversation whatsoever. There was 8 people that were witnesses to whatever happened. He couldn't get one of them to crack. He had a shot at all of them. He couldn't even get a little bit out of one of them.
Or none of them use a pronoun ever. I don't know if in Sweden they don't use pronouns, but not one pronoun ever used.
Yeah, at no point did they slip and say her or something.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I understand Zara not being able to crack. She's a tough nut to crack, that one.
Right.
But the rest of them, like, it seemed like it would be pretty, you know, you'd start corroborating stories and figure out that, no, there's something going on here. I just don't think Jack's actually a good police officer, bottom line. I think he's terrible.
It's a great point.
Yeah.
Well, his dad is worse than he is. He goes to the door, and the reason he lets her off is he's like, oh, yeah, goes to the door. He sees the bank robber, and he feels bad for her. Immediately, he's like, oh, I've been on the job a while. I just know she's having a tough break. He's like, can you stop pointing the gun at me? She's like, well, it's not even real. And it was real. It was a real gun. So right there, if someone told me, oh, the gun's not real, I'd first think, oh, this person's a huge liar, right? Immediately, I would think this person's not trustworthy. But he's like, ah, I still trust her. It's like, she just directly lied to you about the one thing that's important, the weapon in her hand.
Yeah, but he could probably tell that she was telling the truth. Like, she knew it was, she didn't know.
No,
like, she was, who knows? But yeah, Jim was a blundering guy. He's like the cop in the 80s movie who just, like, eats donuts and is, like, always covered by powdered sugar, and he's like, oh no, I gotta get out of the car. I did like Jim a lot, don't get me wrong. I thought he was a wonderful man.
I did like how they introduced them too, because I always have a tough time with the names, like early on, especially when they had introduced them, and they just had introduced them as an old cop and a young cop, and then it was like, here are the differences between them, and I was like, damn, every book should do this, you know? Is he just like, this is with this one cop, here's the other one, and then we'll tell you the names later, don't worry about it.
Yeah exactly. I thought it was pretty clear that they were father and son. I thought that was, I sniffed that one out early.
Oh, early on? Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow, nice. Good for you. I didn't know that.
It's just the way the interactions
were. They were a little bit too personal, yeah, for sure. But you never know with the buddy cop.
My next talk down, slowly letting farts out on a plane.
What?
So it was referenced in the book. I think Zara was making a metaphor or something. And she was kind of saying how, if you slowly let a fart, it's like people who slowly let farts out of the pen, like they think they're being sneaky, but they're not. And she got me. I had to pause the thing and like really contemplate life because, I'm sorry. Hand up. I slowly let farts out on plane. It's the pressure. When you get up in the air, the pressure comes. It just forces gas out of your body. I can't help myself. And I thought I was being secret, and evidently I'm not. And I'm sorry to all those people who have sat next to me. That concoction of rotten eggs that they're sniffing was me. I apologize. I'm sorry. And I will do my best not to do that anymore. Do you tend to have flatulence on an airplane?
I'm usually a little bit too tightened up for that. Yeah, I feel like. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Like, once I get off, I realize, oh, wow. I've been holding something in this whole time. Yeah. You know, so yeah,
you're a better, better person than I am. do you have any other stock down?
Last one, suggesting books to someone, stock down.
Wow, dude.
Estelle, not personally. Estelle says she has an affair with another man, but it turns out they weren't having any sort of sexual deviance there, but it was just them exchanging books and suggesting books to each other and kind of cutely underlining or highlighting parts in the book. That was a fair. I completely agree with her. That's cheating right there. That one hurt. That would hurt me, you know?
Yeah.
That type of thing. But I wanted to ask you, what are the things that you'd be most threatened by or like would be not actually cheating, but cheating to you that isn't actually, you know what I mean? Like not a relationship.
So
right
not
there, that.
Physical cheating, but emotional.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely if the wife was like going to her new guy friend's house or even old guy friend's house because he was going to like make her a wonderful meal. I'd be like, whoa,
I knew it was going to be this.
you get that here. Like, why are you looking for that elsewhere? So for sure. Or if she was like, hey, me and my new friend Dale, we love to watch Survivor on Wednesday nights. I'd be like, no, that's our thing. What do you mean? What?
Yeah, I see that.
But if she had a friend that she was like, hey, we're going to hang out and eat popcorn and watch Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, I'd say, all the power to you. You kids go have fun now. I'm okay. But yeah, I think the food thing, or if it was like a Sporty Spice thing, if she joined like a bowling league and had like a really good guy friend at the bowling alley that then they'd like would go out on the side and bowl together, I'd be upset about that.
Yeah, I hear that.
What about you? If someone was playing Tower Wars or Dota without you?
No, I was thinking like if someone was there like, oh, this person I work with is so good looking or whatever, or anything, I wouldn't even be bothered by that. But if they're like, man, this person's super funny, I'd be like, who the fuck is this dude? Like, fuck this guy, you know, like that pissed me off. Or if
funny looking.
Yeah, super athletic or anything around that where they're like, yeah, you should have seen him on the softball field, like what, or ping pong, you know, like what are you talking about, ping pong? Let me play them, you know. Anything that's like that, I'd be much more threatened by than like a good looking person.
If she was like, have you seen Dale's knife skills, I'd be like, whoa, I can cut chives way finer than him.
You sign up immediately for a class to learn better knife skills. Yeah.
Just cue the montage of me.
Rocky in the mountains working on the knives.
Favorite characters?
I like Ro the best.
Oh, really?
I think she's goofy, funny. I really, really like that you mentioned she was like eating everything.
Yeah.
That Julia would hide sweets and then she would find them and eat them, and then she was like, fuck you, I'm buying sugar-free chocolate. I know you don't like those. And Ro was like, ate them anyways, just to send a message. She's like, out of principle, I'm eating these. And I was like, yes, I like that a lot. And she was the only one that was kind of like keeping it level and low-key at the house. She was just like always getting blamed for shit and yelled at, but she was like just trying to be fun and goofy. I liked her.
The chocolate anecdote was funny because we kind of have that at my house where the wife will, if it's there, like she's going to eat it. Where I tend to savor things, like I'll hold on to it for a while. You know, if I had a Kit Kat, I might break it in two, eat one, and save the other one for later.
Wow, good for you. Yeah. That's impressive.
Well, it's not impressive or anything. It's just the way I am. And so she's just like, you can't leave those things around because like they're gonna
get crushed. Yeah, I'm on the right side on this one.
Yeah, so it was funny because it was a random anecdote from the book that tied directly to my life. But I actually found the two of them to be meh. If I may say so myself.
Okay. Man. That's fair. That's
yeah.
For everyone.
My girl was Zara. The energy was there. You know, she was a cynic. She was, you know.
Zara's the worst.
She was terrible in all the ways that I found her to be the most interesting of characters. Like, thought she was the smartest in the room. In a lot of situations, she was. But, like, does that matter? You know what I mean? Like, to be smart but also have, like, no compassion for other people. Like, not really a good thing. But I just, you know, she always had a quip. She always had a comeback. I dug it. Sharp tongue, you know? I like all that.
I 1,000% disagree. First of all, the letter to her as like one of the twists or whatever, and it just being like, it wasn't your fault.
Yeah
it was. Yeah, it was.
A little Goodwill Hunting.
I would completely understand that if Zara at the point when they came, it was like, hey, I'm so sorry, like I can't do anything. This is just how the system works and like this is how it is. But instead she was this cold, mean, you shouldn't have invested, you like idiot, like to the person that committed suicide in the beginning. So she deserved it. She literally, she wasn't, she's just a shitty person. And then what happens after she gets the letter? oh yeah, she changes, she becomes a better person, she starts having empathy. No, she didn't do any of those things. She becomes even worse. She continues to project her shittiness to everyone else, talks down to everyone. And listen, I understand she's having some tough problems like upstairs that nobody knows about. But you know what? A lot of people that have felt worse things than her, that have gone through way worse things than her, that don't have the intelligence she has or the station in life that she has, that aren't dickheads to everyone. They're nice people still, even though they've done the exact same stuff. So I have zero empathy for her. Fuck her. Worst character in the book by far.
She had some retribution. She fell for a rabbit. You know, that was good. And
she's a furry. She's into furry play. Like, who cares? I don't. What is that? Why does that make me like her more? You know, I'm into that. I mean, wait, what?
You know, she ended up donating a bunch to the suicide camp or whatever.
That doesn't make you a good person. You can still be shitty to everyone, even if you donate money.
She's working on herself. You know what I mean? That's
she isn't. She had 10 years. What do you mean she's working on herself? She didn't have any breakthrough. She's still a shitty person.
I'm saying by the end of the book, she decided to start working on herself.
She's already made her millions at the bank, and she's like, you know what? I'm going to retire now. It's like, oh, after you've ruined hundreds of people's lives? Yeah, now you finally figured it out with all the money in the bank account you have. Oh, I'm going to donate 1% to charity. Look at me. Pat me in the back now. Come on, D-Man. Jesus Christ.
Team Zara over here. Let's get into your loves. What'd you love?
I think it was just great all-around writing. Yeah. I mean, it touched on every single problem in the world somehow was touched on, which made for a little bit tougher read. But I honestly wrote after the first chapter, and we mentioned already, but I wrote, wow, that was really well-written, clever, funny, but also super depressing, which was the rest of the book. That was the whole book. It's described as that.
Yeah, it really brought on the gamut of emotions. You know, it was a heavy topics involved here, you know, with people's financial burdens, their romantic burdens, actual life burdens, and, you know, the suicide stuff. Like, it was some heavy topics. The way it was written, it made it fun to read. My first love was I thought the jokes in it, like, this book was funny. The banter was great. It wasn't necessarily like laugh out loud funny. It was more like smart funny, you know, like clever, like you said, but not clever in a Frasier way, you know, or like like you have to be super smart to think this is funny. It was just like really well written and clever in ways. I re-listened to some of the stuff and was like, oh, like, because it was funny, and I was like, oh, that was great. How the story was told, I really liked as well with this book, where it wove itself together in a way that wasn't necessarily confounding. And it would be in the current time with the hostage situation, and they'd end it on some like kind of like pseudo reveal, and then it'd go back in time and like give you the context for that reveal. I thought that was a really good way. Sometimes we see people play with time in books and going back in time and going forward, and it is too confusing, or like it doesn't really make sense as to why. But this format I found to be really enjoyable to read / listen to.
I don't know how he kept all the moving pieces together, and it was very, very unique, and I don't know how you would ever could write something like this. I could only write this linearly, and like 90% of the jokes could not be in there because I just wouldn't be clever enough.
He must have had a crazy outline with how everything's intertwined, you know, like how each character connects to one another.
And if you describe this story too, like, I was like, if you just read the paragraph on the plot description, doesn't really do any of the justice of what it is, you know.
No.
It's like not really about any of the plot.
It's, you know, about idiots,
which is kind of crazy. Yeah, that's really what it is. So it is kind of cool. A lot of times I was just thinking how they translated it, because there's a lot of puns and things like that that probably had to be changed, like house tricks. I'm sure that was something else, right? That had to be something else.
And I still didn't really get that one.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like a pun on the name, but I'm sure there was something different, you know, in Swedish.
Yeah, no, it's a really interesting point that I didn't even think about, is how they managed to like work this all out with being translated to a different language, because sometimes those things definitely don't translate well.
It's like Lord Voldemort and I am whatever his name is.
Yeah, I am Tom Riddle.
How they did that in other languages. They like had to do different things there to do that. Yeah, I was wondering the same thing the whole time reading this. Like, they had to have the best translator rewrite this.
And there was actually like one actual joke in the book that I found to be quite pleasant. As an Irishman, did you enjoy that one?
Oh, what was it?
The
it
Guinness, the genie turns the whole ocean into Guinness.
Oh, yeah. We'll have nowhere to piss. Yeah,
like that. Or we got to piss in the boat.
Yeah, for sure.
The relationships, I thought all the relationships between the different people, I'm not talking about the tangential ones, but, you know, the husband-wife combos, the wife-wife combos, the father-son combos, I thought they were so just really well done. And somehow, even though this is a relatively short book, they all felt fleshed out. I completely understood each person's perspective and how that relationship worked in such a short time while also getting an actual story behind it. I never felt like bogged down in the details of the relationships. And, you know, just the point that how important kindness and compassion is in life. And it's really the little things we do to each other that help get us through the day. I thought that messaging was, it was pleasant. It was nice. It was really nice to have. What about hates? Hates, what did you hate?
Biggest thing was, for me, was just the twists. I didn't really love them. I already talked about the Zara and the letter thing. That annoyed me because I really didn't think Zara deserved that letter. I think it should have been like, you're a terrible person, change. I don't care what's going on in your head. It doesn't justify you being a terrible person to everyone else. You know, that's not how it should work. I also really, really didn't like the bank robber reveal being a woman.
Okay.
It didn't really make a ton of sense. This could be my prejudices, but like the whole book seemed to force that. There's just like zero circumstances where, again, maybe the Swedish language is different and they don't use pronouns. I know other languages don't necessarily use gender nouns or whatever the fuck it's called. And maybe it's just easier to do that. But like them, to your point, interviewing and never slipping up, them always hiding that. And this whole thing of like, again, my prejudice is that I just don't think a woman would be that stupid or impulsive or dumb to do what a man would do. I can't think of one woman that would do what this woman did, whereas I can think of like 10 guys. I'd be like, yeah, I could see them going to a bank. Maybe that's my prejudice against men. Know. But like,
you put a wedge between a woman and her children, and I'm pretty sure that woman would do anything. You know?
Yeah, but I think she has a gun. She could do a lot of other things. If that's
the kill the husband, go to jail. Yeah, totally. I get it. Sleep in a king size bed. Totally.
I also think that, I mean, again, this could be the U.S. courts, but 99% of courts would side with the woman too. You know. So, anyways, they just set everything up to be that, and then the twist didn't even matter. It didn't matter if she was a woman or not. So there's like this big buildup that you think of this. Everything seems real. Everything seems real. And then they turn that on its head. It's like, well, this is also a woman, by the way, even though no one mentioned it in any interview. No, there's never been a gender usage at all in any of the interviews. Not one person's been like they could interview the bank teller and just be like, it was a woman talking to me. Like, it's just it didn't make any sense.
That's the point, is that they could have talked to that girl.
And like, it wasn't a big reveal either. It didn't have anything to do with the story. It wasn't like they were only looking for men. And then the big twist was that it was a woman. That would be a good reveal, right? But it didn't matter at all that she was a woman. So it just annoyed me. That just made the book not seem rational. It made me go completely out of the book all of a sudden. Being like, what? Why are they doing this?
I had no feelings whatsoever about it. I thought it was like, I thought it was an okay twist, honestly.
I'm getting amped up with Zara in this, and you're just like, whatever, I don't care.
I thought it was a nice little, because I was like,
did it not take you out of the book?
It didn't take me out of the book. It just made me think like, wow, they've never said that. They just called that person the bank robber. Like, they never mentioned it was a man or woman, and I assumed it was a man. You know what I mean? Just like everyone else. We just assumed it was a man for some reason. And it really got me thinking more about, like, why did I assume? It's like, because they robbed a bank? And I do agree with you that, like, there's a bunch of male idiots out there, and I think women would probably be a little smarter than that.
They painted it as a man the whole time.
But they never said it was a man.
If it's a duck and it quacks like a duck and has feathers, and then you're like, that was a cat the whole time, you'd be like, oh, I guess. You know, it doesn't really...
But why would a cat have feathers?
I don't know. Why would a woman rob a bank when 99% of bank robberies are men? And then why would you hide that? What does it matter? I don't know.
I'd be interested to know what the listeners think that have read this.
I don't want to be taken out of the book, and I think it devalued all the other stuff, which I don't think it mattered at all. That's why.
I can tell you're passionate about it, which I appreciate, but I'm not. My only hate was that it was sometimes, just like our podcast, it was hard to follow. And that was few and far between, really. It was just a couple times. And this is really my only hate. I'm really just nitpicking here. And that's just also for me, because we do have to take into consideration that I am an idiot. Just sometimes when they would do some things like, and I know the rabbit thing was supposed to be confusing. Like, it was when they were like, oh, there's a rabbit in the bathroom. And it was like, wait, what? What the fuck is happening here? But I was like, my brain was super bungled. Like, it was like someone giving me a super hard brain twist teaser that I couldn't figure out. What do you
think, it was a real rabbit?
Yeah, I was like, found Leonard, I was like, okay, there's a guy with a rabbit head, but like, where's the rabbit? I was like, oh wait, that is the rabbit. Wow, I'm really dumb. So maybe that was just like the author trying to show us how stupid we are, or maybe it was just me. But yeah, it was a couple times I had issues following along.
Well, like, I think it also goes back to like the untrustworthy narrator. Like, yeah, it's Ocean 12 is what I got really upset with. Ocean 12, you remember that movie? Mm-hmm. Where like the whole time the narrator is just not telling you something, so there's a twist. Mm-hmm. It just upsets me that it's like, well, you just held this out so that there's a twist.
Yeah, like you gave us false information for
exactly
twist purposes.
That annoys me. Instead of being like, when you see everything again the second time you watch it, you're like, oh, that's amazing. Like, it was right in front of me. I love that. No, I'll read it again and be like, yeah, I guess it could be a woman, but like, it doesn't, you're not.
Oh, you're still talking about the woman? Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. I'm still pissed about that. And Zara. Zara sucks too. I can't believe you like Zara. That's annoying me.
I'm Team Zara.
And Ocean's 12. Team Ocean's 12.
I love Ocean's 12.
I'm going to rewatch that and hate watch it again just to spite you.
Do you have any other hates?
No.
Well, we got some time. Do you want to do 5 more minutes on the man-woman swap?
I don't understand. I devalues twists. Do you not understand that? I don't get it. I casted some actors, though, for America.
Oh, I love that. Are they doing an American?
No, but no. I'm going to make it.
Okay. I did start it on Netflix today, like literally watched the first 10 minutes, and it seems like it's really good, honestly.
Really?
It seems like they put some cash behind it because it looks like really well filmed and whatnot. Nice. So, but who do you have for the American cast?
I'm going to run through it because I have like 7 or 8 of these. All right. Jack and Jim, Nicholas Holt from The Menu fame that we did. Jim, Mel Gibson.
Oh.
So, a little bit of a goofier role for him, but, you know, he always plays the cop. So
yeah, returning to a cop role.
Yeah, absolutely. Zara, give me The Devil's Wear Prada, Meryl Streep version of her. Same thing.
Yes.
Talking down to everyone. Yeah. Perfect. Roger and Annalena. I wanted to tie in Lethal Weapon, so bringing Danny Glover back for Roger. Just the curmudgeon.
Yeah, that checks that.
There. I don't know if he's too old for it. And then Annalena, I did Jamie Lee Curtis.
I think those are both really well done. Yeah, I'm on board.
Okay.
I mean, Danny Glover's probably too old, but I still like it. You know what I mean?
A lot of these you're going to see them pairing up because of, I think, of the chemistry.
Yeah.
Julia and Roe, Kristen Wiig for Julia, and Roe, Melissa McCarthy. You like that? Bridesmaids? Estelle, Kathy Bates. I mean, Waterboy mom.
Let's go.
Yeah, for sure.
Easy peasy.
Yeah. And then
this is a very expensive cast.
For Leonard, TJ Miller from
Silicon Valley or whatever.
Silicon Valley, yeah. But that's the cast. That's the run through. Do you have any?
Really good. I had all the ones you had. I liked them so much.
Doubled down.
I just agreed to all of them. Although I'm having a tough time thinking of Meryl Streep falling for TJ Miller.
Oh shit, I didn't realize the age difference.
There. Yeah.
It doesn't No, you know what? I like that. She'd be a little bit dominant.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm for it still. Never mind. I'm keeping that.
Maybe Leonard could even be like Woody Harrelson. Give me some Woody. Let's get into it. Would you recommend the book? It was recommended to us. We like passing along recommendations, you know, rabbit earing some corners, writing some love notes in it. Would you write a love note to someone and recommend this book to them?
I liked it. Probably not right up my alley, but I'm glad I read it.
I mean, not only would I dog ear some pages or anything, but I think I'd leave my apartment key in it. I liked it a lot. I think that what I liked about it the most is that we've now read a lot of books on this podcast. Mm-hmm. It's very different than
unique
other books we have read, which seems like, and we do like certain genres, so of course those are gonna be more popular, but it's just such a unique idea for a book, and it works so well that I was pleasantly surprised. It's one of the few that it would kind of fit anybody. It doesn't really matter what kind of books they like to read. I'd say like, hey, give this one a shot.
I think this one has a super high floor. Even if it's not right for you, like me, I'm more of a, I don't really want to be in this world. I want to be outside this world. I don't want to be depressed like this kind of book is a little bit. It was still a good read. It was super enjoyable either way.
Yeah, exactly. I think what you're kind of saying is that if you recommend it to anyone, they wouldn't be like, I didn't like it. They'd just be like, right. Yeah, it wasn't my
It'd be hard to imagine someone hating it.
Someone being like, no, it wasn't really that great.
Other than the twist.
Bottom as I get. Yeah, maybe the twist. Maybe the twist. But hey, you need someone else to talk about that with.
Yeah.
So you might as well start recommending it. Where
are
we head to next?
Next, we got Leviathan Wakes, James S. Corey. So sci-fi, futuristic, you know.
Sweet. So we're going to do that. And then there's also another Scorsese movie coming out that we're going to follow up with, I think, that afterward.
Killers of the Flower Moon by David Grann. That movie comes out mid-October, so we're going to read that beforehand and get ready for that.
I'm excited for both of them. This was a fun book after 50 Shades, which was a terrible book. And now to get into some like sci-fi and then... seems like kind of like a murder mystery kind of thing. So
I
dig it. So thanks again for the recommendation. Keith, always good chatting with you about these books. And please don't text me about the man-woman swap thing, okay? Promise.
All right.
All right. Bye now.
All right, bye now.